I suspect that my next guest is almost always the most interesting and most sought after guest at any dinner party. Ryan Blumenthal is a forensic pathologist whose book Autopsy provides a keen insight into life in the trenches with those who are tasked with determining the cause of death in cases of homicides or deaths in suspicious circumstances. It is an absolutely gripping read. Ryan, welcome to the show and thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Listen, I have to ask you straight off the bat because there's people hanging on who are so keen to know. What is the most commonly found item in the pockets of South Africans who've died?
Well, in my many autopsies, it appears to be a container of Zambuk.
Absolutely.
That seems to be the most common thing that I find.
Absolutely extraordinary. I posed that question to my partner yesterday. He was so frustrated when I said Zambuk. He said, oh, that obviously. I don't know if it is necessarily obvious. But there you go. That is the most commonly found item in pockets of dead South Africans is Zambuk. So thank you to everyone who answered that question and hazarded a guess. Listen, Ryan, what is it that made you want to give us laypersons this insight into what is what it is that you and your colleagues are faced with in any given 24 hours as a forensic pathologist?
Thank you for that question. I just thought it's an idea whose time has come. I thought it's time that South Africans and those outside our country find out a snapshot of what we do in a 24-hour day. And what it looks like, because we all exposed to this negative placard with someone that's been murdered or suicide, and you know, that's where it stops. So I thought, let me show you what happens afterwards. And this book is dedicated to all the heroes who practice forensics in Africa and the challenges that we have to deal with. You know, we're dealing with limited resources, depleted resources, strike actions, sometimes no water, sometimes blowfly invasion. And I just thought I'd give them, you know, an insight, almost like Kitchen Confidential, you know, just Mortuary Confidential, just showing what happens in the real world.
And what I think is so interesting, Ryan, is that you do dedicate the book specifically to those who are practicing in Africa. And you've touched on it a little bit, but I mean, what does make the landscape here so different compared to the landscape that would be facing forensic pathologists or medical examiners, I believe they're called in the US, in other parts of the world?
Well, that was the chief reason I wrote the book, because there are other books of this genre. You know, there's Death's Acres, there's 40 Years of Murder, there's Unnatural Death. But I wanted to make this specifically African-related. Like, what do we have here that no one else in the world has? And I think, you know, that gave me a bit of a authority on the subject, because, you know, we, for example, have African wildlife to contend with. We've got weather phenomenon to contend with. We've got certain road fatalities here, you know, with cars hitting hippopotami and goats and cattle, you know, which people in more developed places in the world don't have to contend with. You've also got specifically pathognomonic ways that South Africans die that aren't actually, you know, seen in any other place in the world. For example, we've got, you know, necklacing, we've got chemical aldecarb deaths, you know, and there's
Sorry, Ryan, we lost you there briefly. What I do want to do is, I gave a rather brief description in the intro about exactly what it is that forensic pathologists do, but can I ask you to explain in your own words? I think that's going to be much more helpful for our listener.
Okay, so in Africa, we're called forensic pathologists, whereas in the United States, they're called medical examiners, and in Britain, they would be called coroners. But we examine unnatural deaths. So these are deaths which are questionable, where there'll be a blame or a claim, you know, where the law will be involved. So murders, homicides, suicides, accidents, sudden unexpected deaths. And, you know, to us, the body is the crime scene. So we are involved. We do about between 60,000 to 80,000 autopsies a year in South Africa. There are about 500,000 natural deaths per year in South Africa. There are about 56 board-certified forensic pathologists in South Africa. So as you can imagine, we're quite busy. In America, the average medical examiner would perform about 250 autopsies per person per year. Here, we're performing between 450 to 650 autopsies per person per year.
Sure. I imagine, Ryan, that the recent trend and popularity of shows like CSI et al. Has led to an increased fascination around your job. How often do shows like that get it right? I mean, one assumes that they have their own forensic pathologist on set to sort of point them in the right direction, but they must allow for an awful lot of artistic license.
Yeah, they do have consultants, and there is a phenomenon now called the CSI effect.
Right.
Which is, you know, the public believe that we can solve a case, you know, with a snap of a finger.
Yeah.
You know, fancy schmancy technology. We just put the blood in the machine and get the results, eh? But whereas in the real world, as you'll see in my book, it's quite labor intensive and inconvenient to find the truth at times. It requires a certain kind of mindset. You've got to be emotionally, physically, psychologically, you know, in the right kind of mindset, fit for purpose, and it takes a lot of, it's labor intensive.
Yeah, for sure. What are some of the most, on that note, what are some of the most common misconceptions that you come across that people hold about what it is that you do?
Well, that is discussed in the book. You know,
yeah.
I literally, you know, you can romanticize this field, or I can show you what it's like in real life, you know, mm-hmm. the blood and guts of it all. And, I think that's been, you know, I've taken people out of their comfort zones with this book. It's written in a very matter of fact kind of way.
Yes, it is. Yeah,
you know, this is what it is. Like, you have to accept this. This is the reality. You know, there's no sugarcoating this. You know, so I would like to think that my book was written from the heart in a matter of fact kind of way, and it just puts it out there. You know, you can't argue with that. So. And I think people need to, you know, as I say, it's an idea whose time has come. They need to realize what we're dealing with and what the day, a snapshot in day of a life looks like.
Yeah. I think that probably most people would imagine that forensic pathologists are raking in the big bucks compared to other medical specialities, but that's not true, is it?
No, it's not exactly true. You know, most of us have, work with government jobs. And there are a few private forensic pathologists, but by no means do we get what, some of our private colleagues get in practice. And, it's a calling to do forensic pathology, almost religious in nature, I would say, because, you know, what causes a person to wake up in the morning, have a cup of coffee, you know, and go straight into the mortuary and be confronted with death and dying on a daily basis? You know, you wake up early, you get home late, constantly exposed to the misfortunes of humankind. You know, you need someone with the right stuff to do this kind of field. It's not for everyone, certainly.
Yeah. I know that you don't like to be asked about the most interesting case that you've worked on, because you are essentially, you know, regardless of circumstance, that you are dealing with people's relatives and people who were once living, breathing people. But would you like to share some of the strangest things you've ever seen? I'm thinking specifically about a certain rat.
Yeah, look, the hackles do go up on the back of our neck when we ask that question. You know, what's the most interesting thing you've ever seen? Because we generally do not find other people's unnatural deaths interesting.
Yeah.
However, if you were to phrase it, you know, what's the most unusual thing I've ever seen? Or, you know, the thing of most academic interest, you know, then, you know, that would evoke a better response. But we, you know, as I said in my book, ex semper Africa aliquot novi. You never know what's coming out of Africa. And we are, this is forensic paradise. You cannot believe what we see on a day-to-day basis here. I mean, I think people sitting in the European worlds or the Americas would be, they would just like say, wow, you know, like you can't believe some of the stuff. It's just, yeah, at times I also just have to stand back and take a breath, eh? Because, well, I put in the book the story of the rat. You know, it was a giant African rat that was in the thorax of a deceased from Central Africa that got embalmed, you know, with its tail sticking out. And at first we thought it was a piece of wire. We thought, you know, and we x-rayed the body and it was a giant African rat inside the thorax. It went in post-mortem. But many other times we find, you never know what you're going to find in a body. There may be a fully cocked and loaded gun that can fall out, you know, sharp weapons, super sharp projectiles that can go through your gloves. You know, it's by the grace of God you go in there every single day. You can cut open the stomach and the person could have ingested potassium cyanide, and potassium cyanide can react with hydrogen chloride in your stomach, and you can get hydrogen cyanide gas. So just by cutting open the stomach, you can be overcome with hydrogen cyanide gas, which can injure and kill you. So it is by the grace of God you go into every single autopsy. What I hoped to achieve by this book was to try and make people think like a scientist, yeah, and to think like a medical detective and take them out of their comfort zones. I think if I achieved that, then I am a happy man.
I just wanted to show them.
Thank you so much.
You know what it felt like to me? It felt like, as I was reading it, it felt like I was turning up as a rookie FP, which is the language. I feel like I'm even abbreviating now, as a rookie FP. And you're the guy that's saying, right, SJ, this is the reality of the job. Are you up for it? Have you got the cojones for this job? That's how I felt reading it.
Well, Sarah Jane, you know, I wrote the book, you know, as if I'm going to die. So everything in there is from the heart.
Yeah.
I also wrote it in second person.
Yes.
So I wrote it as if I'm handing over knowledge to a new up and rising forensic pathologist.
Exactly.
You know, all the secrets of the masters.
Yeah.
You know, handed over to some new protege. So it is written in a very kitchen confidential kind of way. And there's nothing in the book that's not in a newspaper. So, you know, it has been sanitized and diluted and, you know, it's been checked. So hopefully de-identified all my cases. But one is left optimistic at the end. And I think it educates up and it educates down.
Yeah, yeah. Ryan, let me ask you something. When I was starting out as a rookie journalist 150 years ago, you need a certain mettle for that, you know, because often you are seeing unpleasant things. You're having to sort of door knock and speak to people whose relatives have died. And those early days of journalism are fairly grim. And a sense of humour has been absolutely vital. And sometimes I've said this to my colleagues before, I wonder if sometimes if a hidden camera was put into newsrooms, the members of the public would probably be horrified about the stuff that we laugh about. But I think it has to happen that way because there needs to be a sense of levity in what is often a very dark environment. Is it true to say the same of forensic pathology or not?
Well, that is a brilliant question. And I must say, I have the highest regard for old school journalists, you know, those with skin in the game,
yeah,
through the trenches themselves. Yeah. You know, I have the utmost respect for them. You know, one of my favorite books is a book called The Story of San Michel by Axel Munte, published in 1929. And it's about a doctor in the time of plague. You know, there was an outbreak of cholera in Naples. And even though those were very serious times, he took himself not very seriously. You know, a sense of humor and a sense of brevity, as you said, or levity, is critical, even in dark times. And that's why I try to pepper my book with some humor, just to show you how, you know, resilient us humans are and how we have this way of just surviving and getting on with it, despite the bleak and dark times.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. The book is called Autopsy, Life in the Trenches with a Forensic Pathologist in Africa. The author is Ryan Blumenthal. Please buy a copy of this book. Buy copies for your friends. I've been absolutely gripped. I really have. I really, really am enjoying it, Ryan. And thank you so much for your time this morning and for writing this book.
Thank you so much for having me, and everyone be safe.